Greetings and welcome back to Scripture and Prophecy. I'm your host, Sean. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com, and that's where you go to find the archives, but that's also where you can go to support this mission of truth. So if you're being blessed by this and you want to support me and support this mission, support this podcast, that's where you go to do it, scriptureandprophecy.com. There's a support tab at the top where you can donate, you can send snail mail, or you can become a monthly Patreon subscriber. Of course, none of that's required. This is all free for you. But if you feel that on your heart, that's where you go to do that. Today is October 3rd, 2017. It's Tuesday, and we're ready for chapter 17 in the book of Bereshit, that is to say Genesis. And we're dealing with Abram right now. And Abram, he's in this particular chapter that we're about to get into, he's about to go through his name change and all of that, and another covenant with God. We read in the last chapter where he was promised the son, and then he, you know, decided to do his own thing, and that's how Ishmael came along through Sarai's handmaiden. And so now that leads us up to where we are today in chapter 17. And so we're going to study that. And I really hope that these Torah readings are blessing you. And I think that they are. And it's certainly a blessing to me to read this every day. And so that's just real quick, just a reminder in case you're new. The goal was to read, is to cover, you know, do scripture reading and commentary Monday through Wednesday out of the Torah. Eventually, we're going to start a New Testament book, probably Romans or another one of the Gospels. And then on at some point at the end of the week, we do our prophecy update podcast. And so that's kind of the format. I do stray from it from time to time based on what's going on in the real world, but that's the goal. So anyway, without further rambling, let's do what we came here to do. Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, Jehovah appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect. I will set my covenant between me and you, and I will increase you most exceedingly." Abraham threw himself upon his face, and God spoke with him, saying, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be a father of a multitude of nations. Your name shall no longer be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you most exceedingly fruitful and make nations of you. And kings shall descend from you, and I will ratify my covenant between me and you, between your offspring after you, throughout their generations, as an everlasting covenant, to be a God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojourns, the whole land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I shall be a God to them." Now real quick, we have the name change from Abram to Avraham. And basically, the scriptures tell us right here, it says, the reason I'm changing your name to Abraham is for I have made you a father of a multitude of nations. And the commentator here in this Bible says, God changed Abram's name to Abraham, a contraction representing his new status as Av Haman, father of a multitude. Whereas the name Abram represents his former status as only Av Aram, father of Aram, his native country. And so the name change means that he's going to be a father of a multitude of nations. Another interesting thing that I think in my mind is that the Hebrew letter that was added to Abraham's name was the letter He, which means spirit, breath. You know, it's that imagery, that idea. And so I think not only is Abraham the father of many nations, but he's become in this relationship, in this covenant with God. And so that letter, you know, was that was added to his name. And so I just think there's a deeper meaning to that. And the other thing is, this shows how important names are to Jehovah. I mean, he goes out of his way and he says, look, you're getting a new name. Because your name means something. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, you can go study this out for yourself. It talks about Jesus giving us a new name. And so, for whatever reason, this name, God, you know, it means something. The name itself actually has a legit meaning, but to God it matters, which is why he goes out of his way to change people's names. All right, verse 9. God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and that shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. At the end of 8 days, every male among you shall be circumcised throughout your generations. He that is born in the household, or purchased with money from any stranger who is not your offspring, he that is born in your household or purchased with your money shall surely be circumcised. Thus, my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And I've always wondered why God would choose something so strange as circumcision. And I've just kind of come to the thought and the realization that it's just a reminder. You know, every day there's that cut in the flesh that says, I'm in covenant with God. I belong to the Most High, El Shaddai. And so that's kind of where I'm at on, you know, why circumcision? An uncircumcised male who will not be circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has invalidated my covenant. And God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, do not call her name Sarai, for Sarah is her name. I will bless her. Indeed, I will give you a son through her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people will rise from her. And in the same way, Sarai's letter that was added to her was the Hey, the letter Hey. Verse 17. And Abraham threw himself upon his face and laughed. And he thought, shall a child be born to a 100-year-old man? And shall Sarai, a 90-year-old woman, give birth? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. God said, nonetheless, your wife Sarai will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will fulfill my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant for his offspring after him. But regarding Ishmael, I have heard you. I have blessed him, will make him fruitful, and will make him increase him most exceedingly. He will beget 12 princes, and I will make him into a great nation. But I will maintain my covenant through Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. And when he had finished speaking with him, God ascended from upon Abraham. So basically what you have here is Abraham's thinking, man, I'm going to be 100 years old and I'm going to, you know, father a child, and my wife, who's in her 90s, is going to give birth. And then he thinks about his son Ishmael, whom obviously he loves. Of course he loves his son Ishmael very much. And he's worried about his son. He's like, oh, if you would just choose Ishmael to do this covenant. And God says, no, my covenant's going to be with your descendant who comes from Sarah, your wife. And I will set my covenant upon him. But, you know, because God is gracious and merciful and he loves Abraham, he says, I'm going to take care of Ishmael as well. You know, 12 princes are going to come from him. I'm going to make a crazy, you know, I'm going to make an exceedingly great nation out of him. He's going to be blessed beyond belief. But the covenant will be with your descendants through your son, Isaac. And so Abraham gets that comfort knowing that Ishmael will not be forgotten, that he will be blessed as well. Verse 23. Then Abraham took his son Ishmael, and all of those servants born in his household, and all those he had purchased for money, all the male members of Abraham's house, and he circumcised the flesh of their foreskin on that very day as God had spoken with him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised on the flesh of his foreskin, and his son Ishmael was 13 years old when he was circumcised on the flesh of his foreskin. On that very day was Abraham circumcised with Ishmael, his son, and all the people of his household born in the household and purchased for money from a stranger were circumcised with him. And that is the end of chapter 17. I gotta tell you, I'm guessing the guys in his household weren't real thrilled about going through that circumcision as adults. I mean, even Ishmael was 13 years old. And so I often look at that and I go, man, I wonder if they thought that to be strange or, you know, that way, you know, I personally would be pretty terrified to have to face circumcision as an adult. But Abraham, he was a man who was obedient to God. And you know, God even shows up and says, I am El Shaddai, be perfect before me. And I've got some commentary here. Let me pull that up real quick while I'm thinking about it. I've got two big giant books here before me. Let's see. Oh yeah, El Shaddai. The name depicts God literally as Shaddai, who is sufficient in granting his mercies and who has sufficient power to give whatever is necessary. That's according to the commentator. Walk before me and serve me by observing the mitzvah of circumcision. As a result of this, you will become perfect. And, you know, people think that God is like a greasy grace type of God. And it just kills me how little people understand. I mean, Abraham, you know, God shows up to Abraham and says, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be perfect, and I will set my covenant between me and you, and I will increase you most exceedingly. And you know, and it says Abraham threw himself upon his face. You know, I don't know, it's just sometimes I wonder where's that attitude today amongst God's people, to where they say, I want to walk perfect before the Lord. Instead, we give ourselves all kinds of excuses. Oh, well, you know, no one's perfect. And of course, those things are true. But I just feel like we always make excuses for ourselves to walk in our own flesh. Oh, well, I can't help it. I'm a sinner. You know how people act. It's like, man, why don't you take your walk with Elohim seriously? You know, Abraham's throwing himself upon his face. Which I'm guessing any one of us would do if Jehovah showed up and said, I am El Shaddai, walk before me and be perfect. Oh, man. I love the scriptures. They really are a blessing. And I pray that they're blessing you, and I'd love to hear about it if they are. Again, if you want to support this mission of truth, scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to take care of that. That's the end of our study this morning. And Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow morning with chapter 18. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.